Today is the June 20th, 2021 meeting of Hope Bible Church. Steve Hogan's message is titled, Our Enemy, the Devil. If you'd like to support our sermon audio ministry, please click the Give button on our sermon audio homepage. Thank you.
The 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, first 11 verses. That's Revelation chapter 12. First 11 verses. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, and the serpent of old, who is called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And then they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life, even when faced with death. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your word, and we believe every word of it. Throughout history, you have prophesied and shown all the things that your will was going to accomplish in this world, and every single one of them has come to pass. There remains still a lot to be done, and your word tells us, as it does in Revelation and other chapters, about the war that's coming and Satan and what he's desiring to do on this earth to try and thwart your will and his failure as predicted by you. We praise you that you sent your son, that he was the conqueror who overcame Satan, who overcame death, and now sits at your right hand waiting for the day when you say, now. And he comes again to rule on this earth, to reign with a rod of iron, to bring justice and peace and righteousness to this world the way it's supposed to be. We long for that day. We pray that you'll help us to be lights for you in this world now as we wait, that we would be sharing these things that are in your word that you have revealed to us with the rest of the world so they might know when this starts happening what your plan is and who your Savior is and what they need to do. We thank you that you have overcome Satan, that he may be powerful, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we have victory, you've told us, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we just pray that we would see that victory every day in you. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Good morning. Great to see all of you here on this Lord's Day, also this Father's Day, a day that we are to honor fathers. Of course, we should be honoring our earthly fathers throughout the year. And more importantly, we should honor our Heavenly Father every day of the year. He's the one responsible. He, along with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, as Steve was praying there about the victory that we have. Indeed, we have the victory, and part of what we do as Christians here and these times together is, hey, we've got the victory. Doesn't always seem like it. I mean, we're in this war. It's difficult. I think you all understand that. You've all been around long enough to know that, hey, this life is not easy. Indeed, we are in a spiritual battle. Part of what God does in His words is a lot of it. We learn how we can come to know Him, have a relationship with Him through Lord Jesus Christ, how He died for us and rose again. But He also tells us how we're to live. I tell you, I'm so thankful that we have His word, a word that we can understand, that we can apply to our lives, that can help us to know what to do, to know how we're to live each day of our lives. It's such a wonderful thing. We've been going through 1 Peter for many months, and we continue to look at two primary subjects, that of suffering and that of humility. And what we've seen is that one way to get through our suffering is to be humble, because then God gives us the grace and peace we need as we go through that suffering. We also talked about how humility relates to every single thing in the Christian life, everything. We talked about how God wants to be humble and that we're to submit to the authorities He has placed over our lives. We've talked about how young men are to submit to those who are the elders in the church. We've talked about how as Christians, we're to submit to every person too, those saved and those who are lost. Indeed, this is a key. We talked last week about not being anxious, and one of the keys to not being anxious is to be humble, that to humble ourselves under the Lord, under the Lord's care, trusting Him, casting our burdens upon Him, then He will care for us. But today we move on. We go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Look at two verses here today. And again, we'll plan to talk about these next week as well, because there's a lot here. It's a very, very important subject. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." And so, these verses talk about the enemy, the devil, also called Satan. And this devil is behind a lot of our suffering. I'm not saying all of it, but a lot of it. He's behind a lot of it. The devil hates us. He wants to hurt us. He wants us to suffer. He doesn't want us to serve the Lord. He doesn't want us to love the Lord. He doesn't want us to do what God wants us to do. And the answer to our suffering, as I said before, is to be humble before God, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Because God indeed is like an umbrella of protection, our strength, our fortress, the one who can deliver us from the devil and from his attacks and schemes. Turn to Psalm 18. It's a picture of it. You read the Psalms and you'll find so many verses that relate to what I just read, how God wants to deliver us. But Psalm 18, the first three verses is a good summary. The whole psalm is about God's deliverance of David, but the first three verses sum it up. Verse 1, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies." Indeed, that's a simple answer. We talk about the devil after us, and he wants to save us from our enemies. We'll go back to 1 Peter 5, and we're going to just work our way through this, just word by word, really. First it says, "Be of sober spirit." We're commanded to be sober. The word sober literally means to return to one's senses from being drunk, to be free from the influence of intoxicants. That's what it literally means. An expanded meaning is that we're not to be controlled and addicted to fleshly and worldly things, whether that's food or sex or drugs or games or sports or TV or movies or any such thing. We're not to be controlled, addicted by anything in the world, anything related to the flesh. You don't want to lose spiritual control of your life by being controlled by fleshly, by worldly, or by devilish type things. Not at all. You're to be self-controlled, and all that means you're to be filled up with the Spirit. If you're not controlled by the flesh, then the key then is to be filled up with the Spirit. That's what God wants. You've all heard of that little DUI or DWI, drunk or driving under the influence or driving while intoxicated. You all know that you don't want to be under the influence of alcohol if you are driving. You all know that. You all understand that. It's very simple. A person's senses can be impaired. He can get into an accident and cause damage, cause problems, cause the hurt of a person's life, or even the death of a person because he is in intoxicated. The point is very simple. We don't want to live while intoxicated. We don't want to be living under the influence of anything. That's the point here. That's the whole point. You want to be sober and you want to be alert. 2 Timothy 4:5 really sums it up. It says, therefore be sober in all things, in all situations. And so what does that mean? You have to be sober all the time. Alert all the time. Be sober in all things, in all situations. Now, what you see here, look back to verse 8, it says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Is the word sober is used in conjunction with the word alert. That is, you're to be sober so you can be alert. If you're sober, you can be alert. That's the point. It's important to understand this. Alert also translates as being awake or being watchful. You're not sleeping. As Christians, we're not to be nonchalant. We're not to be carefree. We're not to be easygoing, because you know what happens then? That's when the devil contemptus of sin. That's when we can fall into sin, not then being controlled by the Lord and by the Spirit. First, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. 1 Thessalonians says verse 5, it says, you're all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do. Let us be alert and sober. Same two words that are used in 1 Peter 5. For those who sleep, do their sleeping at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So again, we're to be sober. We're to be alert because we are in a spiritual battle, a spiritual war. Imagine if you were in an actual physical war, physical combat, you're a soldier. Imagine what that'd be like. You're out there and there's the enemies out there too, and you know he's out there. You're not back at home, you know, or, you know, you're not sitting around some other place. You're on the front lines and you're in a war. You can't be sober. You got to be alert as a soldier. That's what we're saying. You got to be sober and alert. So you can know what the enemy's up to. So you can know how the enemy might want to attack you. So you can be defensive, but also offensive. That is, understand, I've got weapons. I've got my gear. I know how to fight against him. So important then, be sober and alert for that purposes. Now, these verses here are all written in the context of the end times. Steve prayed about that at the end of his prayer. And we need to be ones in this context, the end times, be sober and alert, because things, as Steve read there, Revelation 12, are going to get very, very tough. We'll talk about that in a little bit later. But we need to be sober and alert in view of the fact that Christ will be coming back soon and lots of stuff will be happening before that actually happens. So as Christians then, we're to be spiritually sober and alert. We're to be awake and watchful and aware and attentive of what is going on around us, particularly with reference here to the devil. That's what we're saying. And you know what? We're to be sober and alert, as I said, all the time. Because the devil never sleeps. He never takes time off. You remember the story about Jesus in Luke chapter 4. He's being tempted there in the desert. And at the end of that whole time, this is how it sums it up, verse 13. When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. And so for all of you, this has happened where you've been tempted different times. In fact, this week for me was a harder week. And I could tell that the devil was sort of more active, trying to push against me or at me. And I think it's because of this message here. But it says when he had finished all these temptations, he left him for an opportune time, that he's looking for that opening. You all understand football. You got this football and you got this offensive line. And offensive line wants to do what? For the running back. Create holes, right? So the running back can go through and get yards and get touchdowns, things like that. And the defense is to close the holes, to stop the holes. So the point is the devil is looking for a hole in your life, an opportunity, a way that he can come into your life. As it says in Ephesians chapter 4, don't give the devil a foothold into your life. Don't give him an opportunity any way, shape, or form. That's what we need to be careful. 1 Corinthians 16:13, I like this. Be on the alert. Again, that same word. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Great verse for being ones who are soldiers, being in this warfare. Back to 1 Peter 5. verse 8. It says, be on the alert, your adversary, the devil. So the devil's our adversary. The word adversary literally means a legal opponent, an opponent in a lawsuit. If you recall, there's a story in the New Testament, in the Gospels, about this lady, and she had this problem, this opponent. And she said to the judge, give me legal protection from my opponent. So you have an opponent. You have an enemy. This is the truth. You have to think this way. This is the way life is for us as Christians. We have an enemy. He is the devil. He's our adversary. This word Satan actually means adversary. Adversary means he's against us. He opposes us. He accuses. He wants us to feel guilty and like they're wrong, like we're not doing good. And so we need this protection from the Lord. Let me read this first verse, and we'll turn to Zechariah. And as you do that, I will read this other verse. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 2. It says in 1 John 2, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, for he himself is the satisfaction for our sins. And so the point is this, is when we do sin, oftentimes the devil will try to make the most of that with us and make us feel guilty and bad. He says, don't you fall into his traps because Jesus Christ is the one who died for you, paid for your sins. Zechariah chapter 3, it's right at the end of the Old Testament, right before Malachi, I believe. It's an interesting little picture, and I believe it does depict well what we go through at times. Zechariah 3, verse 1, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and standing before the angel, he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. Again he said to him, see, I've taken your iniquities away from you, and will clothe you with festal robes. Then I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments, while the angel of the Lord was standing by. It's a picture, yes. Before we're saved, we are dirty, we are unclean, and then God saves us. It says in a passage in Isaiah, he clothes us with robes of righteousness. Back to 1 Peter chapter 5. The devil is our number one enemy. He hates you with a passion. He loved you to be taken off the face of this earth. And a side note, we might talk about this more later, and I've said this a lot in the past, God protects you much more than you ever realize. And so, but the devil's after you. Again, he's your enemy. He does everything he can to slow you down, to stop you. I could tell that was happening this past week, to slow you down, to stop you, to get you off track, to get you to sin, to stop you from loving God, to stop you from doing the work of God. That's what he wants to do. There's no doubt about it. You watch a movie, there's oftentimes this good guy, bad guy theme. You all understand that. There's a movie, there's the good guys, there's the bad guys. And now there's the devil and God. And of course, this is not just some make-believe movie that we're talking about. This is the real thing. Sometimes, for me, that's why this is just maybe a preference. I have a hard time reading fiction. I like to know the real stuff. Give me history. Give me books that talk about what's going on today. Talk about the future. I like reality. And I'm not saying you can't read fiction. I love the truth. I love nonfiction. I like to know what's really happening. That's what I like. And God wants us to know the truth. There's no doubt about it. But we're talking about here, the devil's the bad guy. I'm not going to say that God's the good guy. The Lord God is the Lord God Almighty. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He is a sovereign ruler, and he is the coming king. Read the end of Joshua 5 sometime. It won't take time, but it's very encouraging. End of Joshua 5, last four or five verses. Read that. It'll give you a picture of this. We need to remind ourselves that God is always completely in charge of all that's going on in the world, and that includes all the activities of the devil. The devil can only do what God allows him to do and permits him to do. I've said this many times before, the devil is like a dog on a leash and only can only do what God allows him to do. That is, God reins him in. Classic example, that should go back to the book of Job, and Job was being afflicted. And it says in chapter 2, verse 6, Job 2, 6, God talking to the devil. Behold, Job is in your power. Only spare his life. Sort of scary in one hand. He says, Lord, don't put me in the devil's power. But God knows what he's doing. He put the rein on. Okay, you can do what you want with him, but don't kill him. Okay? In chapter 1, you see, he says, oh, you can do whatever. Just don't touch him, his body physically. Well, chapter 2, he changed things a little bit. That's what happened. We can't understand why God allows the devil to do all that he wants. We just can't. I mean, who are we to think that we know what God is doing? But you have to understand, and I've said this before, all things that happen are for God's glory, for his purposes, and for our good. It's like a board game. Some of you have played board games, and some of you have seen these big board games. My son-in-law and daughter love to play board games, and you have the world before you and all these pieces and the strategies and this and that. You can do this, and there's some really complex board games out there, really complex. Again, all these things happen, and you've probably played some. You know, going against the enemy. Maybe there's two of you. Maybe there's five or six different people or forces out there, you know. Here's the point. It is not a board game. God sees everything in the world, all the different pieces, all the people, past, present, and future. He knows all the demons. He knows all the angels. He sees everything, and everything is going according to his plan. Every piece. And who are we to think or tell God that, what are you doing, God? We're just one little piece. You're a fool if you challenge God. A fool. You're just one little person. And God knows what he's doing with you. He knows what he's doing with your family, your friends, this church, other churches, unbelievers, evil people, all over the world. He knows what he's doing, and it's all working together for good, for his glory and for his purposes. That indeed is what is happening. And so what happened to Job with the loss of his family? I mean, he had, 10 kids? They all died. His livelihood, they all came and stole his animals, burned up his fields. Then chapter 2 took his health. And these are bad things. You can't say, well, these are good things that happen, and God let the bad things happen. That oft-asked question, why does God allow evil? He's got his plan for his glory, for his purposes. It's for our good. That is the truth, and the devil is part of this. That's what we're saying here. And so you look at Job. Chapter 1, all those bad things happen to Job. Chapter 2, he loses his health. You have to go 40 chapters later to 42 to see that all things work together for good. And you know, one way to look at the Bible is this. It's literally hundreds of stories of people, how things work all together for good. You get the beginning and the end. You got Joseph, Genesis 37, Joseph, Genesis 50. All these things happen, bad things happen, right? What's it say? Verse 20, Genesis 50. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He finally understood God's sovereignty. And you see that story repeat itself throughout the characters of people in the Bible. And you know what God wants for you? To look at those stories? Hey, I'm right in the middle of my life. Things are a little rough, but I'm going to make it, and it's going to all work together for good. That's it. You got to read the stories. They're given to you for a reason. So you understand. You know, the greatest thing, we all know this, I'm not going to read these verses again, Acts 2, 23 and 24, but God predetermined and pre-planned, predestined that the godless people would kill his own son. Now, if that didn't happen, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't be children. We wouldn't have a heavenly father. We'd be on our way to hell. So God allowed it. God worked it. He had it all figured out. And God is never evil because he allows evil. Now that you can't figure that out, I know you can. I can't either. Not this side of heaven. God is never evil, but he allows and permits it and works it all together for good. Please understand that. That's what God wants you to know. Well, we're going to look at some more verses that talk about the devil and about Satan. And Steve read these, so I'm not going to read over them again. I might read a few, but not all of them. Chapter 12, 1 through 10 is a great description of this enemy. Verses 1 to 5. Verses 1 to 2 talk about Israel. She's the woman in this chapter. Her main purpose is to bring Jesus Christ into this world, okay? We understand that she's in labor. that as the Old Testament time, she was in labor. That is, it was not easy. You read about the struggles of Israel time and time again. You read Kings and Chronicles, and you read about the historical books. There's so many struggles that she went through. Well, specifically, we go to then verses 3 and 4. We understand that there's this devil also called the dragon. And during the Old Testament times, there's these six different empires who were influenced by the devil, okay? And they then attacked and tried to wipe out Israel, but they failed every time because God is victorious in this struggle and this spiritual battle. Because again, the devil wanted Jesus not to be born. So if I can wipe out the nation of Israel along the way, then it won't happen, but he was never successful. Now the tail, sweeping away a third of the stars of heaven, is picturing then how the devil influences one third of the angels, and they become evil beings and demons and evil spirits. That's what happens, okay? That's what we know what happens. Since it's Lucifer, Satan used to be called Lucifer, was a good angel, was a godly angel, and was perfect, but became proud and he rebelled against God and then influenced these other beings, these angels, to become proud and rebel against God as well. So really, if you look at it, and I take these verses literally, it's 2-1. 2/3 of the angels are with God and 1/3 are with the devil, okay? Again, we can't see this part of the picture, this spiritual picture here, but that indeed what is true. Now, a large part of this rebellion is seen that the devil is influencing these eight kingdoms. And their goal then is to keep the Jews and the Christians from accomplishing the purposes that God has for them. But they'll never win. They'll never win. Now, let's go to Revelation. I want to look at these together. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 4 says, the tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, she might devour her child. This is speaking about one of the kingdoms. You know the Christmas story. You know how King Herod was an evil king and how he wanted to get rid of this so-called competitor that he thought might come around as Christ. Had all the babies killed in that area, 2 and under. We know the story. We know about how Joseph and Mary took Jesus, took him away to Egypt to escape, and finally came back later. They were protected. And then what's interesting, look at verse 6. I love the succinctness of this verse. Then the woman fled into end of verse 5. Verse 5. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule over all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. So that whole chapter really has three main points. One is Jesus was born. Two is he's going to ascend to heaven after his life on earth. And three, he's going to be the king. And this whole chapter here is about the end times and about how the devil's trying to thwart us and wants to make his last stand against us and stuff. But here's Jesus Christ, the king, and we are the Christians, and there are the Jews. And this huge, huge battle is taking place. Verses 7 to 10. There was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So here we understand that this devil, he's also called the dragon, he's also called the serpent of old, snake-possessed devil. And he tempted Adam and Eve to sin, and they did sin. They did rebel against God. But here in the end times, and here we take this is still future, I believe, what's talked about in these few verses, 7 to 9 and 10 and on, is that in the future, Michael, the great angel, will fight devil, the great evil angel, and Michael will win and cast him down to this earth. I believe this is future. This is going to be a tough time. Okay, I don't know when this is going to happen. 5 years, 10, 20, 50, 60, I don't know. I think it's sometime this century, and it's going to be tough. So make sure you know what's going on. Make sure you tell your kids and your grandkids, because I think your kids and grandkids very well could be here during this time. They need to know. Toughest time on this earth during the whole history. The devil is cast down to earth. What actually happens then? He influences, and some say he possesses the Antichrist then. The Antichrist comes chasing after the Jews and Christians and tries to kill them during what's called the Great Tribulation time. This is during the last part of Daniel's 70th week. That is what happens. So the devil's main enemies are God's people. Who does he really hate? Don't hate the non-Christians. He uses the non-Christians for his purposes, but he hates the Christians. He hates the Jews. That's what he does. And we're going to continue to see increasing opposition against them in these days. I see things every week. In fact, this week was probably something as one of those, wow, this what happened this week? And I'm not going to go into the details. This is a yearly thing. This is one of the biggest things I've seen in the last year or two, what happened on Wednesday. I'm going to go into all the details. What happened is we had our Attorney General talk about this plan. It's a national plan to control domestic terrorism. And what you see the enemy does is use these big words as catchphrases and everybody else. And I believe that sooner or later, we as Christians will be part of the domestic terrorists. It's a 20-30-page plan about how to take care of them and deal with them. And so we are seeing more and more the beginning of how these things are going to take place. Boy, this is amazing. This is something. The biggest threat, they say, to this country now are domestic terrorists. And they're including some of those people in that category. I've read the papers. I've read lots on this throughout the last few months. It's not just some small subject. There's no doubt this is the approach and plan has been clearly unfolding, particularly since January. But we'll continue to see this in the future. Don't be afraid. Things are happening. We are in the end times. We shouldn't think any different. When these things happen, devil, of course, uses countries for his purposes. So what's the devil's character? John 8:44 says the devil's a murderer. He wants people dead, both believers and unbelievers. But again, never fear, because God will protect you in the way that he wants. He'll only allow you to die if that's his plan for your life. Now, I didn't say the devil's behind every murder. A lot of them. But he is involved. I heard this the other day. This is really sad. You know, people die every day in the state of Florida because of drugs, opium addiction? 20 people a day in this state alone. I can't remember the number that die per year. It's maybe like 200,000-300,000. It is one of the worst things that happen in this country. We can talk about traffic accidents and this and that. Drug addiction is bad. The drugs pouring across the border, the fentanyl, I could tell you stories. It's evil what the devil is doing. He loves it when people die, especially those who don't know Christ. No doubt about it. The devil's also a liar. He loves lies. He hates the truth. And so in this country, what do we see? Lots of liars. And we hear lots of lies. And it's just in our community, the state, national, world, lies all over the place. There's lies. And the devil, again, I'm not saying he's behind every single lie, but he's behind a lot of them because he hates the truth and he loves the lies. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. We continue on. What's the devil like? How does he work? 2 Corinthians 11:12-15. 2 Corinthians 11:12-15. Very important to understand this. What I am doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. Key verse, verse 13. Don't forget that one. Don't forget it. Such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Do you get it? It's so clear. It's so, so clear. This means there's a lot of false teachers out there. These servants of righteousness. That's what he's saying. They're false teachers. Used by the devil, teaching a false gospel, teaching a false message. That's what's happening. And with that, then, there are false churches and fake churches. That's what's going on. Second Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 says this, talking about what was going on back there with Lasos today. It says, you guys are a synagogue of Satan. So he's talking about this real synagogue, and to be of Satan meant that it was teaching the wrong message, a devilish message, a false gospel, okay? So what? How could we say that today? We could go around this city, this state, this country, put signs in front of so many so-called churches and say, this is a church of Satan. This is a church of Satan. And that is the truth.
If they're not teaching the message of God, if you have some person in there dressed up in a nice tie or a nice robe, whatever, and he's teaching the wrong message, he's a servant of righteousness. He's acting like it, but he's really a servant of the devil. This is the truth. We have to understand the devil plays for keeps, right? He plays for keeps. Again, I'm not trying to scare you. I just tell you the truth. And hopefully that'll sober you up. Whoa. That's part of the purpose of this message, so you are sober and are alert and aren't sleeping on the job. Okay? That's what God wants for each one of us here. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Some of the best verses that sum up this warfare that's taking place. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. What do we learn? I'm going to sum this up very quickly. There's a number. There's like six things here. I'm going to sum it up in like one sentence. Okay, listen up. We have an invisible enemy. He's invisible. He's a schemer. He's powerful. He's very organized. He's a ruler. He influences people to do evil. And his evil forces are working in every part of this earth. That is what is taking place. But be encouraged. You have all the power, all the spiritual tools you need, and they're listed down here, 13 to 18 other places. You have all the power, all the spiritual tools you need to resist the devil, to defeat him, right? Devil is super smart, super intelligent, super strong, but God is with you. God is with you. And he will help you, enable you to beat and overcome the enemy, as Steve prayed from 1 John 4, 4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. What a powerful verse. And other verses, I'm not going to read it. Revelation 12, 10, 11, 12 talk about the power you have to overcome. But the one I want you to turn to in this context is Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 is classic. A verse important for all of your life, but no doubt relevant to the end times. When things really get tough, these are must verses to have in your heart and mind to teach your kids, to teach your grandkids. Romans chapter 8, really 28 through 39. I'm just going to read the last few. 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul's more towards the end of his life when he writes this, okay? He had been through a lot of things. He experienced the grace and God, power and the victory of God time and time again. He could say this with confidence. And God wants every one of us here to be able to say these same verse with confidence. I'm convinced. Absolutely, 1,000% convinced. Because the Lord's loved me. So you got to go back, read these over again, think about them, memorize these. These are very, very important for you. Okay, we go back to 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We need to take this apart. Okay, prowl. It's from a Greek word that means walk. That's all it means. But in the context, it's a good translation. Metaphorically speaking, then, the devil is walking around looking for prey, looking for someone to devour. You know that. He's like a roaring lion. Y'all remember when you were a kid and you heard about how the lion is the king of the jungle. You heard that, right? Well, back then, the Jews knew too. They knew about this lion. They understood. He's a tough one. He's extremely powerful and dangerous. You don't want to get caught alone with a lion. You're not going to survive, okay? Especially if he's hungry. He's just not going to make it. Lions walk about, as you know this, you know enough about life and nature and things you've seen or nature shows, whatever. Lions walk about freely, right? Confidently, proudly. They're not afraid. not afraid of anyone. And they're looking for someone to devour or something, some animal to eat, to attack. That's what they want to do. But big cats, like little cats, cats you may have in your neighborhood, can be extremely quiet. You ever seen a cat? It's getting ready to attack. Boy, it's quiet. Slowly sneaking up on the enemy, on that whatever it is out there. I mean, I've watched them. I've spent 20 minutes watching a cat as it's stalking. It just, paw goes this, quarter inch to the right paw, quarter inch to the left paw, quarter inch to the right paw, slowly. And we're talking maybe an inch between each one of these moves, or a minute between each one of these moves, just slowly. That's what they do. Devil's deceptively quiet. He's like a roaring lion. He has a big mouth, okay? So he can be quiet, but then he attacks. He attacks. He's trying to scare you. He's trying to intimidate you. He's trying to make you afraid. And so this is something you got to learn. When you're attacked by the enemy, God, help me not to be afraid, to be strong and courageous, to not flinch, to be like it says, and I won't read it now, Psalm 27, the first four verses. And much of what the devil does then relates to the lies he wants you to believe. Lies, if believed, can really hurt you, can really affect your life in a bad way. Lies that relate to how he wants to trick you and how he wants to tempt you. We won't go to Genesis 3, first four or five verses, but we see very clearly, man, the devil is so deceptive with Adam and Eve, particularly Eve there, but also then Adam, tempting them to lie, tempting them to believe the lies, and they did. But again, remember, devil can't make you sin, right? Right? He can influence you. He can tempt you. You're an old guy 50 years ago, this guy did on TV. Devil made me do it. You've heard probably heard that line. Devil can't make you do anything. He can't. He can influence you. The temptation can be very strong. But in the end, it's up to you to resist, to stand firm. Devil is seeking someone to devour. He's looking for Christians. Oftentimes, who's he looking for? The weak ones. The young Christians. The tired Christians. The injured Christians. Ones he can influence with his lies. If you watch a nature show, you've seen it, right? If you all watch these nature shows once in a while, PBS and stuff, there's the lions. And the wolves, and the predators, right? They're going after some, you know, the last one there, the weak one, the tired one, the little one way back in the pack. There's this pack of animals, and there's the last one. They're way behind. You've seen it, right? And they get that little one. They attack it. They devour it. That's what happens. You know what happens. Lesson is you don't want to be a loner. You don't want to be off by yourself. We are a church, and we need each other, and we need to be together. We need the fellowship. We need the encouragement. We need the teaching. We need to help one another. One of the single greatest victories of the devil in this past year, since March of 2020, is what? Pretty obvious. Not just locked down the economy, locked down the church. He's loving it. Now, I'm not saying that the devil is behind every politician and every medical person. I'm not saying that. He's behind a lot of it, though. There's no doubt about it. He works through people to accomplish his purpose, and he loved the lockdown of the churches. Unfortunately, we weren't locked down much, about a month or so. But so many, you hear the stories. I could go on and on about the stories of churches and things here and there in this country, that country, another country. Just, it's really sad. And you know what? You know what? I can't help but think, he says, you know, that worked out pretty good. I think I accomplished, the devil talking, a few of my objectives. We did a pretty good job there, getting people to be afraid. People stay home, not fellowship, not be in church. You know what he's saying, thinking? I'm going to do it again. And it will happen. It will happen sometime in the future where he will some way, shape, or form try to shut us down. I don't know exactly. It'll be some other trick, some other means. But know that. God wants us to be together as a church, and if you become astray, you're much more prone to be attacked by the devil. You don't want to be by yourself. We want to be ones who stand fellow. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. These verses don't talk about fellowship per se, but they talk about the Bible body being together. Chapter 2, Ephesians 2, verses 19 and following. no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. You all understand a household, people living together in the same house, right? We're a spiritual household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing together into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Together, together, together. Chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Again, fitted and held together, the importance of each individual part in the church. That's what it says. What's the devil want? He doesn't want us to be together. Don't forget that. Don't ever, ever forget that. Devil wants to devour us. 1 Peter 5, word devour from a Greek word means to drink down or swallow. I've seen a lot of cats chase after squirrels. I've told you, I have my quiet times in the back porch. What's in the backyard? We have a bird feeder, okay? So when the bird seed falls to the ground, what comes after that seed? The squirrels. And where are the cats? This is our backyard, a bird feeder, squirrels, and the cats, okay? And the cats are there. I've watched this dozens of times. And I've probably seen 7 or 8 of these where the cat is sneaking quietly and sprints. I have never seen anything move so fast in my life. The first fit is going, is motionless, and boom! That first 15, 20 feet, man, it's fast. It's like a rocket. It's on top of the squirrel, pounces on the head and grabs his neck and squeezes the life out of it. A little maybe gross here for some of you. That little squirrel is dangling from the mouth of the cat. The cat then hauls it away to some more secluded place and devours it. And maybe some of you know this. You have cats. And you might find a tail in your front door. The trophy. Hey, look. You parents, you mom and dad there, you people, I protected your place. I got the squirrel, and here's the trophy. The point is this, okay, a little levity here, but the point is this. Spiritually speaking, the devil's after us. He wants us destroyed. He wants to devour us. He wants us defeated. He wants us dead. He wants to make us completely inoperative. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Speaking of the devil, the thief. That's what he does. That's what he does. So you're not to be afraid of the enemy, but respect him. Don't be naive. Don't be naive. But think the devil can't hurt you. Don't ever do that. Don't ever be nonchalant. Be sober and alert, watchful, careful every day of your life. You should pray this every day of your life. God, protect me from evil. What do? You need to be sober, alert. You need to fear God, stay close to him, and of course, stay close to the shepherd. Turn then to Psalm 23. We understand shepherds, right? We understand David the shepherd, any shepherd. They're out there, and sheep aren't so smart. And so the shepherd is to do what? Protect the sheep. So we need to look to the Lord to protect. Say, Lord, protect me. Sometimes I'm not so smart, Lord. Please help me out. I'm sort of dumb sometimes, sort of naive. I sometimes do things I ought not to do and get in trouble. Please help me. Verse 4, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. That should be our attitude. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd had a staff. Use it to prod, to nudge the sheep, and the rod. Sometimes to discipline the sheep, but also as a weapon. A good shepherd was accurate. Predator coming after one of the sheep, he could nail that. He could nail that predator. Knock it out. Rod and staff. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then this verse, 2 Timothy, which I've shared many times. And sometimes One of the reasons I share verses over and over again is so you realize they're important. So you get them in your head, in your heart, so you never forget them. So never forget these here, some of the best. Verse 17 of 2 Timothy 4, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. I like that one. Rescued out of the lion's mouth. It's pretty close. Devil after me. Had his mouth around me. And got rescued, he said. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Every evil deed. That will happen. Sometimes look a little bit dangerous, a little bit dicey. It'll happen, okay? It'll matter. If you're a Christian, if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved by Christ, by his blood, if you're a child of God, you will make it all the way to heaven. Many other verses on that alone. 1 Peter 5, 9, we conclude. And we'll pick up on this more next week. What do you do? It says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Three things. Well, maybe four. Well, I'm going to say four things, but there's three things here. First of all, you resist. It's a fight. Enemy comes after you. Resist. You stand firm, as it says in Ephesians 6. Fight against them. James 4. Well, you can go there yourself. It's the same thing. It says resist him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's in James chapter 4, 6, and 7. Secondly, you need to have faith. You need to trust God and his word. You look at Luke 4, the example of Jesus being tempted by the devil. He used the word of God, and this is Jesus, and he used the word of God. If he did, we should really use the word of God, right? You need the word of God in your heart, your mind, written down. You need it. Thirdly, you need to know that you're not the only a Christian being attacked. Sometimes you can feel like you're all alone. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. There's other people in this very church here who've been, I would say, severely attacked by the devil recently. Severely so. You don't know who they are. I don't even know who they are. All of them, some. But you got to pray. Lord, protect us. You know the simple thing? Jesus prayed this, John 17, 15. He says, keep them from the evil one. It's one of the most important prayers you could have for other ones, loved ones, people in this church, family members. Every day, say, Lord, protect my child. Protect my daughter, protect my son, protect my husband, protect my wife, protect this person, keep them from the evil one. This prayer of protection, I'm convinced, is one of the most important prayers you could ever have. With that then, so it says in Ephesians 6, with this in view, this is verse 18, again, chapter verses 10 through 17, all about this spiritual battle. With this battle in view, be alert and keep on praying for all the saints. That's it. And this is one of the most important things. If I say two things in this message, number one, be sober and alert, and two, pray. Be sober and alert, and secondly, pray. That's what God wants for us. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. We bless you for who you are. And I just would pray as we focus more on the devil. We don't do that often, but indeed, he's alive. And he's in the world, and he's operating in all kinds of ways that we can't even see. So help us not to be afraid. Help us to be strong and courageous, to always remember that you're with us, as we read there in many verses. Psalm 23, other places, you're with us. Psalm 73, yet I'm with you. You hold me by my right hand. Thank you, Lord, for these promises. Just encourage our hearts with this truth of your great love for us so as we think about the battle, we don't get afraid. As we think about how the devil is after us to devour us. Then, Lord, help us to be sober and alert every day, using your word, using your truth, being in fellowship, being with other Christians, encouraging, all these things we ought to do on a regular basis. But we thank you, Lord, that we can live for you. Thank you that we cannot just be workers for Christ, but soldiers for Christ. I pray you'd help us. We all understand how a person wants to be a soldier. They go into boot camp, and then there's more advanced training, and then I think of the special forces. I think, Lord, at the end times, we're going to need special forces. People are really trained, really strong, really good. All of us, God, keep training us. Psalm 144 talks about that. You prepare our hands for battle, our fingers for war. So Lord, help us grow us up. Help us be ones who are willing to fight. A lot of reason we have problems in our own life and the world, we just give up. We're wimps, spiritually speaking. Help us to fight, to resist, take time to pray, to get in your word, to be with others, and to pray together. But thank you again, Lord, that you, Father, are our commander-in-chief. Lord Jesus Christ, you are in charge of the church. You're leading us onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with Jesus, his cross going on before. Thank you, Father, for that song. Just help us to be, again, excited about you and loving you and, again, doing the work you want us to do. We all have our place, we all have our position. Help us to serve you with all our hearts, loving you, trusting you, Lord, knowing, God, that you're going to, again, work all things together for good, and you're going to get us to the end, that time we're in heaven with you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.